You are listening to the Not Your Average Autism Mom podcast, the number one podcast for moms just like you, raising an autistic child. How are moms like us who didn't plan for this unique parenting journey embracing life just as it is right now, instead of staying stuck in wishing and hoping and dreaming it was different? That is the question. And if you haven't taken our free course yet, Unburdened, Finding Balance, Living Alongside Autism, make sure you click the link in the show notes. It's www.notyouraverageautismmom.com/free course and get registered. My name is Shannon Urkiola, and I have been traveling this journey for over 2 decades. I have been where you are. And in this free course, I teach you things that I learned along the way that changed my life. And I live this autism parenting journey day in and day out, just like you. All right, stay with me and let's get on to this week's episode. Episode 177, From Anxious to Assured, the Q&A Maze. Well, hello, my friends. Welcome back to the Not Your Average Autism Mom podcast. I am Shannon Urkiola, your host. And if you are a new listener, welcome. We have so many new listeners just in the last month. So we are so glad that you found us and hope that you find value in our content here. I always like to remind you that our podcast is not in any particular order. You can simply scroll through and listen to episodes that resonate with where you are on your journey right now. You don't have to start at the beginning because, again, they just aren't in any particular order. And for those of you who come back week in and week out, you know I am always glad to have you here. And I'm glad you like spending some of your time with me. So, and please, whether you're a new listener or you've been around for 177 episodes, if you haven't written a review yet, please do. Trust me when I tell you it makes a world of difference. Your review matters. That is how the podcast algorithm allows more moms like us to find us. It's how we can reach and help more moms just like you. So on today's episode, I'm talking about a topic that is something I have to manage and deal with day in and day out. And that is dealing with repeated questioning from our incredible kids or adults on the spectrum. And let's be honest, it's something that can be exhausting and challenging. But I've got some practical strategies to hopefully help ease the stress. And I'm also going to talk about how you might be feeling and reacting and a better way to do that. All right, let's get started. So the question becomes, why do our kids tend to ask the same questions over and over again, even when they know the answer? Well, there are various reasons why. The first one is seeking reassurance. So some of our kids question to seek that reassurance, especially when uncertainty about the immediate future triggers their anxiety. They crave clarity, consistency, predictability, all to feel secure. So let's just say your child may be uncertain about the future and they seek reassurance about upcoming events, asking you the same question, about when the event's going to happen, what they're going to do at the event, who's going to be at the event. Provide a consistent routine and information to make them feel secure. So like for us, our calendar on our refrigerator is huge for Jordan. He knows exactly what's happening, when it's happening. And for him, that provides some consistency in his world. The other one is some of our kids may experience anticipatory anxiety, using questions as a coping mechanism to deal with their very strong excitement about something that's coming up. So, and the thing is, if they're redirected, severe anxiety might lead them to become very upset. Strong excitement about an upcoming event can trigger repetitive questions. Address the anxiety, the other information, and validate how they're feeling. I think that part of it is really important. I know that you're so excited about the fair next week. Let me remind you what we're going to be doing. The third thing is they may get stuck on a topic, very common in our autism world. So they might get stuck on a particular topic or interest, and they're seeking more information, but they're not knowing how to find it. This is where I would encourage you to expand the conversation, because that can be really beneficial for our children that get fixated on a specific topic or interest. So expand the conversation by providing more information related to their interest. You know, I've talked about this when it comes to echolalia, right? When they're scripting and asking additional questions about what the movie they're talking about. But it's just important to make sure that you're expanding that conversation for those that are very interested in a specific topic or interest. The next thing is attention seeking. So for some, repeated questioning is a way to gain attention. This occurs when they lack the other means of seeking attention, or when questioning elicits a stronger response than other interactions. So if they're asking questions to get attention, especially if they struggle with other ways of interaction, engage in reciprocal interaction, providing answers, and again, expanding on that topic. So those are the main reasons why this repeated questioning might be happening. And now that we know why it happens, I want to explore some practical strategies and what we can do to navigate this repetitive questioning. Again, some of this is going to be repetitive, right? Number one, we want to expand the conversation. My first recommendation is to work with your child and turn their questions into a reciprocal interaction. So for instance, if they ask, going to the park, respond with, yes, Johnny, we're going to the park after lunch. Going to the park is fun. I like to swing. Do you like to swing? Because by expanding on the topic, you answer their question, you redirect their attention, and you're teaching them how to broaden the conversation. So again, if they ask about going to the park, talk about when you're going, how you're going, who's going, discussing your preferences and asking about theirs. The second thing is limited verbal responses. So if the repetitive questions persist, try limiting your verbal responses. Answer the question once and let them know that if they ask it again, that you're not going to repeat it verbally. Nonverbal cues like shaking your head, those can still be used because this sets clear expectations and breaks that reinforcement cycle. So answer once and inform them that if they ask again, that you're not going to answer it verbally. And I would really suggest that you discuss this beforehand to set expectations. So maybe after you've gone through an afternoon of repeated questioning, maybe that evening before bed, you talk about it. Like, listen, this is something that we're working on together, and this is how mom's going to handle it next time. The next thing is, for some of our children, a countdown technique might be effective. So you would answer the question like no more than three times, counting off each time. And once you reach three, that's it. No more verbal responses, because that introduces a clear limit and encourages them to move on. So answer the question three times, counting down with each response. Okay, I've answered it twice now. I'm only going to answer it one more time. Reinforcing the limit to encourage a reduction in the questioning. The fourth thing is repeat the question. So another technique involves repeating the question back to them. So if they ask, are we going to McDonald's? Respond with, Bobby, we are going to McDonald's for dinner tonight. This often prompts them to provide the answer themselves and reduces the need for the constant repetition. So encourage self-reflection and independence in that area. yes, we're going to McDonald's tonight for dinner with Aunt Sue and Uncle Joe. The next thing is written answers. And I say this especially for older teens and young adults who can read and write. Provide a written response and encourage them to carry it with them. And if they ask again, refer them to the note. We use this a lot. Writing the answer on a board can also be effective. Or for us, it's the calendar, right? Because it removes the verbal reinforcement that perpetuates the repeated questioning. So for Jordan, I'll often say, well, why don't you look at the calendar? Because that will tell you what's happening on Thursday. So utilize notes or a board to reinforce the answer and reduce that repetition. The next is redirect with a simple question. So lastly, I would say consider redirecting through validation. So you answer once or twice, and then you let them know that you won't answer that question again. And I often say, Jordan, you know that answer. Instead, ask them a simple question to shift their focus, additionally explaining how you know the answer. So for example, let's say checking the ticket or the website or the calendar. That makes your response believable and equips them with the strategies they need for self-reliance. So after answering once or twice, redirect with a new question to shift that focus. Guide them towards discussing different topics, reducing that urge of repetition. And talk openly with your child about their questions. Let them know that you understand their need for reassurance and that you're there to support them. But we also want to not ask the same question over and over again, ultimately when they know the answer. So now I want to talk about the emotional side of parenting a child who loops in questions over and over again. It can be tough. But understanding your emotions and learning to regulate them is so important to your well-being along this journey. As moms, we've all been there. That endless barrage of questions. The repetition can feel like an emotional whirlwind. So it's super important to acknowledge that emotional impact that it can have on us, feeling overwhelmed, frustrated, and even guilty for feeling frustrated. Are all common experience. That's me. I tend to come back later on and feel a lot of guilt and beat myself up about my frustration. You may find yourself questioning your abilities as a parent or just feeling drained by the constant demands for attention. Maybe you're feeling overwhelmed by the enormous amount of questions. That's entirely normal. And it can lead to frustration, especially when you're already juggling multiple responsibilities. Or maybe you feel guilt for feeling frustrated or impatient with their questioning. I'm guilty of this. And the truth is that guilt can stem from societal pressure to always be patient and understanding. Well, let's just be real. That doesn't always happen. You may feel physically and emotionally drained, struggling with the constant demand for attention and reassurance, especially when you're dealing with some challenging behaviors. Maybe you find yourself feeling guilty for getting frustrated because I know you want to provide the best support for your children, or maybe the inability to provide a satisfactory answer or alleviate their anxiety leads to you feeling helpless. That's normal. The third one is worry. Concern about how this behavior might impact our child's development and their social interactions, right? Number four is isolation. The relentlessness of the questioning may lead you to feel overwhelmed and isolated, thinking that you're the only one that's facing this challenge. No one else could possibly be going through this. I'm going crazy. You have to recognize and regulate your emotions when your children are caught in the loop. And these are some strategies to help you navigate those emotional ups and downs. Number one, you have to practice self-compassion. You have to remind yourself that it's okay to feel overwhelmed or frustrated or guilty. Parenting is hard, and it's normal to have moments of struggle. Be kind to yourself and acknowledge that you're doing the best you can with what you know on this parenting journey that none of us were prepared for. Number two, set boundaries. I talk about this a lot. Establishing clear boundaries around your own needs and limitations. It's okay to take breaks. When you need them, whether that's stepping away for a few minutes of alone time or asking for support from a partner or a friend or a parent, do that. The third thing is seek support. Connect with other moms who understand what you're going through and might be going through similar experiences. Sharing experiences provides a sense of understanding. And when you are feeling connected with others who truly get it, you might gain additional coping strategies and learn the importance of making yourself a priority along this journey. Join our private membership, attend local parent meetups, or seek professional therapy if you need it. Having a supportive community can make a world of difference. Pause and give yourself a moment. Take a deep breath before responding. Allowing yourself a moment to center and collect your thoughts. Maybe it's a quiet moment with a cup of tea or a short walk. Carve out some time for yourself. Number two is accepting how you're feeling. Acknowledge that it's okay to feel a wide range of emotions and don't be hard on yourself. Don't judge what you feel. Just acknowledge that this autism parenting journey is filled with ups and downs. You have to set realistic expectations for yourself and your child, understanding that progress takes time. In the long run, maintaining your emotional well-being is essential for both you and your child. Amidst the challenges, it's really important that you find joy in small moments with your child. Celebrate their unique and quirky and odd qualities. And make it a point to notice and cherish your moments of connection, whatever those look like. Celebrate your small wins. Acknowledge and celebrate the progress, no matter how small, to boost your morale. Amidst all the challenges, find joy in small moments with your child. Focus on the love that, you know, you have for each other, even in the hardest moments. Number three, educate yourself. Stay informed about the various aspects of autism and special education services to better understand your child's unique needs. Parenting a child on the spectrum brings its challenges, and dealing with repeated questioning is just one part of our journey. By acknowledging your emotions, setting boundaries, seeking support, practicing self-compassion, you can regulate your feelings and approach each day with a renewed sense of resilience. And you're not only supporting your child, but you're also taking care of yourself. All right, y'all. Until next week, make it a great week. Prioritize your emotional well-being. And remember, above all, you, mama, are doing amazing at this mom thing. Hey, so if you're loving what you're learning on the podcast, I want to ask you to take a minute and write a review. That's how we reach more moms just like us. And that is how you can pay it forward to help another mom who might be struggling right now. I also want to invite you to check out our Not Your Average Autism Mom membership. That's where we dive deeper into all the topics we discuss on the podcast and where you can get individual help and learn coaching tools that will make your life better every day. When you become Not Your Average Autism Mom, you take on an identity with an incredible community of women across the globe, all raising autistic children, who all show up to show the world they are Not Your Average Autism Mom. It's my favorite place to be, so head on over to the website, www.notyouraverageautismmom.com, to find out all the details. And listen, if we're not open for new members right now, make sure you join the wait list so you're the first to know when we open. We hope you do. We would love to work with you inside.